Welcome back, everybody, to yet another thrilling episode of the Be Better Podcast. Once again, I am joined by my trusty coach, super athlete, friend, and friend. That's probably the best moniker I can put on that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Coach Gabby's in the house.
How's it going?
I'm here.
Yeah, it's almost Halloween.
It's so close, close. Do you have? Are you and Chris going to go out and trick or treat?
Well, I think we're going to pass out candy. I think that's going to be our thing. I love watching the little kids come to the door.
You're going to corrupt the kids? What's the candy of choice you're going to pass out?
We have giant size, king size candy bars from Costco.
My goodness. You're the ones that everybody starts talking about, aren't you?
Yep.
You're those people.
We love it.
Well, it's better than giving out apples or pencils or like, you know.
That's the kids' one night to eat junk food. Let them eat junk food.
It's so true.
Yeah. You gotta let them be kids.
I think this is the night that where kids truly get to experience what adults feel like on the run at Ironman.
It's like a catered event.
Yeah, it's like there's so much sugar in my stomach. I don't know what I should do. Ugh, I'm gonna throw up.
Yep, pretty much.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of Ironman, we had the World Championships just happen a little bit ago.
We did.
And wow, what a World Championships it was.
Yeah.
You know, we had made some predictions on, and some of them came true, some of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the big news was some of the records that fell.
I know. They had the perfect day.
They did. And so, you know, I have a question for you. Do you think that, and I know it's the World Championships, but do you think that the distances were identical to years past?
I would have to say so. I think the big news was just the weather was ideal. It wasn't as windy as normal. The heat was lower than normal. They actually had cloud cover for some of the day.
Mm-hmm. But over 40 years, they have had other good days.
Yeah.
And you know, and there has always been a little bit of I would say a little bit of carryover from like when the old marathon course was set by Mark Allen, that course was actually a different course, whether that actually was a true measured distance. And, you know, I think back to swim courses always being possibly a little bit shorter.
Yep.
Swim record was set this year.
Yeah, it was.
By
both Lucy and an age grouper.
I know.
Yeah.
So the cynical part of me says
something was
maybe wasn't the true course.
You know,
maybe there was some distance that wasn't the same there. Now, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I can't say I didn't do it, and I am by no means taking away from anybody's result.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to think of, you know, let's have an analytical mind about some of these things and not just take them for granted and go, oh my God, they're all the best athletes now forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are the best in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
But are they, you know, when you do, when the 8-hour number hangs out there for so long.
Mm-hmm. And it just
And then just crumbles right now. Is there a reason for that? Is there a possibility of something besides just plain human spirit and like quote unquote great perfect weather?
That's the positive Polly in me. I like to think it was just the competition that everyone had. I mean, everyone was just bringing it all day long, and I think everyone was raised to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And I think that's also the awesome side on the female side too. Is Danielle Reif is just. She's bringing female triathlon to a whole nother level.
So is she?
She's raising the bar.
Is she the next really Chrissy cool. Wellington?
I 100% think so.
She feels like it, doesn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. She carries herself really well. I mean, I respect her quite a bit. I think she's an incredible athlete.
Yeah, it's amazing on like in the women's side of the sport. There always is somebody who is just the juggernaut for a number of years. You think back to Paula Newby Frazier.
Yeah.
You know, she was, I think she set the bar. She was the first. Mm-hmm. And then you had Natasha Bodman, the Swiss Miss, you know, she's still like smiling up a storm out there right now. You know, she had a great run and, you know, then Chrissy Wellington came on and just, where did she come from?
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't lose. Rennie, you could argue, was maybe in that pantheon too.
Well, absolutely. I think she'll have one of those performances coming from like 14 minutes behind. I don't think anyone will ever forget that.
Yeah, and you know, it's it is amazing when you think about how people can recover from having a child. You know, in the physiological changes that happens in your body. I don't think she would ever trade that for something else where you said, okay, well, you know, would you have not had your child and then wanted to win two or three more championships? I don't think she's the type of person that would ever say that. Her and Tim O'Donnell seem to be, you know, very content with being mom and dad.
Well, and,
you know,
the other big mama on the stage was Liz Blatchford. She came in top 10 and, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And with Rinny being like fifth place overall, you're not going to take that away from her at all.
No, and that's incredible.
Yeah.
It's on a world stage.
I know. So let's break down some of these times. So, you know, it's, you know, we've talked a lot before about, and this is like about you being, you know, maybe one of the best swimmers in the field and in the sport right now, how that is an asset, but you can't, you know, you can't rely on that because if you look at like Daniela, her swim time was 57:27.
She got stung by a jellyfish.
She did.
Right before the start. She didn't even know if she was going to finish. She wanted to throw in the towel.
I know. And so
it was pretty incredible.
And this is one of those things where it's a long day. You know, you can't win the race in the swim, but you sure can lose it.
Yep.
But to come back, that she was like, she was 9 minutes behind Lucy Charles. Out of the water. And, you know, we've seen like, and that was like what Rinny did for a long time. She would always come way back. I remember watching in 2015 when, you know, Leanda came out in the very first group, you know, she was like second out of the water, I think maybe first out of the water. And Rinny was like way back and you're like, there's no way she's ever going to do it. And boom, and here she comes. She's like a locomotive. She's like Thomas the Tank Engine, just coming all the way through in that little blue kit of hers. And, but it didn't seem to do too much to her. And, you know, you talk about staying with her with a jellyfish. And there's – have you ever been stung by a jellyfish?
I haven't. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
There's wood.
I'm not sure. That's from IKEA. I'm not sure if that's actually wood. That might be some sort of hybrid paper product.
Plastic,
yeah, exactly. We'll just say it is, though.
Yeah, it's wood.
I have been stung before a couple times. Yeah.
Where were you stung?
I got one in the face.
Ow!
So we were in Cozumel. I was doing some training down in Cozumel back in the day. And you went through like a small pack of little mini jellies and they kind of like wrapped in on your face.
Yeah,
I've gotten them on the hands and it stings a lot. I mean, it's like being stung by a bunch of bees.
Probably takes the breath right out of you too.
It does. And being in the water, it's a whole different dynamic. So, you know, I could see where for her, it could have definitely slowed her down. Mm-hmm. And it is one of those things, you know, when she thinks or when she talks about how she's not really sure if she's going to go forward with the race so early in it. It brings me back to a personal race experience where I was racing Ironman Switzerland and I ran into another age grouper who I was clipping arms with. And then all of a sudden I look over and he grabbed his hand behind my neck and shoved me under the water.
Oh my
gosh. Literally buried me. And I had all these other athletes come over the top of me and I couldn't get to the surface and I freaked and I thought I was going to die.
I would have panicked too.
It's about 200, 250 meters into the race.
Oh.
And so I'm like, okay, what do you do? Like, I wanted to just like, screw it. I'm on shore.
Yep.
No, can't do it because I can't go I can't physically make it to shore at this point because there's too many people. So I'm like, okay, just keep going. And you start to do this internal self-talk where it's like you talk yourself down and you realize, okay, I just need to kind of get everything under control, kind of get control back of my emotions. And then I can push forward because it's, you didn't come all this way to just pop out.
Mm-hmm.
So it is one of those things where she has the mindset of a champion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And without that, I don't think she could have gone forward and done what she did.
Absolutely not. No. I mean, you need to be really strong to come back from something like that or something that, you know, being dragged underwater.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what person in their right mind does that?
Some creepy European people.
Oh.
I don't know. I remember the guy had aquasphere goggles, so I vowed never to ever wear
aquasphere.
Don't
buy aquasphere goggles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, Danielle after the swim, she came back and pulled off a 257 bike. Or I'm sorry, a 426 bike. And you know, again, even there, not the fastest. I don't think she had, oh no, you know what? She did the fastest. My mistake. She did have the fastest bike because I think that she set the bike course record there too.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a little bit of adrenaline pumping through.
Oh, I would have to assume so. Coming from behind like that and finishing, she probably felt like she had to get to Lucy because she knew Lucy would be up front. And Lucy's not a weak biker either. I mean, she's very strong on the bike.
Yeah.
So
have you ever come out of a race or out of the swim? And this is, I'm going to guess the answer is probably no here. But have you ever come out of the swim where you knew you had to bridge up to somebody?
can't. I've been beaten out of the water before, so I've definitely felt like, yeah, I have to make up ground. But I've never had that sort of race where I've had to bridge the gap.
Yeah.
I have from coming off the bike,
okay,
onto the run. So I've definitely felt that feeling before.
We have to battle back.
And then you get that surge of adrenaline and you feel like a bat out of hell.
Yeah.
And you just got to go.
And this is an instance where I think as a pro, you have definitely a different game plan than an age grouper would.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know many age groupers go to Ironman. They have their mindset on what their swim's going to be. They come out, they look at their watch. It's like behind that number, whatever they thought it was going to be. So they've set a great game plan. They've set a good road, you know, and it's all out there. And then in the first, say, half hour of the bike, they basically just throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yep.
Because they're trying to chase back to the time or make up the time they lost on the swim. Now, for age groupers, that is a terrible idea. It mm-hmm. never goes well. Hardly ever goes well. I can't say never because I'm sure at some point in time in the history of the world in triathlon, it has. But it's never a good idea. And, you know, we see that as coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but this is really where it's all or nothing here. She had to say, I have to put it all on the table.
And it's either going to work or I'm going to blow up.
Yeah. And you know what? It paid off for sure.
Yeah, it did.
Paid off for sure. And then, you know, then, I mean, I'll take a sub three hour marathon any day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but you know, I would
I've never even done a marathon, so I think that would be pretty good.
I haven't either.
Yeah. You know,
I've never run I've personally never run a pure marathon.
Yeah. Just in an Ironman.
Yep. Just in Ironmans.
Wow.
And that's, maybe it's because I'm scared of it.
By itself?
Yeah, that's a hard day.
It's a daunting task.
It is. It's a hard, long run. And I think I need to be a little bit out of it in order to do it.
Yeah.
And that's it. But she came in and 8:26:18, she 10 minutes in front of everybody else. Mm-hmm. And she just dropped the hammer and took that win. And you and I both had predicted that she was going to be it was her race to lose.
Yeah.
But coming behind her, Lucy Charles in second.
Lucy, yeah. I mean, she had, I think, an incredible day.
Yeah.
I mean, she's so young. She's in her 20s. Just got into the sport not all that long ago.
No. She was from Great Britain. And now you watched the race all day long.
We did. We kind of tailgated and watched it. It's kind of fun.
How'd you set it up? Did you have food?
Yes. It was a catered event as well.
Really?
We put out crackers and cheese and salsa. And
wow.
Of course, there was beer.
Who came over?
Actually, it was just Chris and my parents and the dogs.
You catered your parents over for a party.
It was great.
Did you do any workouts during the time?
Just a run in the middle and did another run before it all started. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's all good. Have you ever thought about doing like a tenth of an Ironman during that, where you take like a tenth of all the distances and just complete it?
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I've definitely done some long spins and watched it.
Yeah.
Which is always kind of fun.
Back in the day, before live broadcast, when I first started, you had to throw on a videotape and you'd watch old coverage of it.
Oh.
And so you just have long spins and watch, you know, listen
watch
to Al Troutwig. Like, let's listen to Al Troutwig talk about it. And you're like, oh, he's, you know, same guy that, you know, announces Wimbledon.
Yep. The coverage has gotten a lot better.
Oh, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Although
much better. I mean, there's still some discrepancy of the men's versus the women's race.
Was it better this year?
Better, I would say, than last year for sure. Like,
okay.
I felt like they did a much better job of focusing on the women's and the men's race. But then again, it was like the top two. And then where's everyone else? Like, there's a whole other field. Like, they need to do something with, I think, getting more motos or something in there so they can get more coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some really exciting dynamics with, like, Ann Hogg passing Sarah True when Sarah True was blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would have been awesome to get on the camera. And those are just things that get people watching the sport and get people excited. So I think we need more of that to get more people watching, more people invested.
It's
hopefully more women as well.
Exactly. There's only so much real estate out there, though.
Yeah.
You know,
it's tough. Well, and you don't want to congest the course either. So
absolutely.
I get it. I mean, you don't want, like, the tour when the motos are kind of
Bumping into people
getting in the way. So I can see, like, both sides.
And you see some of the images coming out of the age group packs where it's like, it's a Peloton.
Yep.
You know, and that's
Draft Fest.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing.
It's hard to patrol unless you're having, I think 70.3 has done the right thing splitting up. I think that's helped.
Yep.
I've definitely still heard problems of draft packs, but it's better having the men and the women separated.
And then, but they still are increasing those field sizes to try and get the revenue in. I don't think you'll ever see Kona broken up on 2 days.
No, I think that would be too hard.
Yeah, I think
but there's been talk of it not being in Hawaii anymore. Have you heard that rumor?
No. Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
That rumor's been going around.
Where would it go?
Well, that part, I don't know. The only rumor that I've heard is that they want to remove it because the locals are complaining. And
well, that's why they had to modify the bike course this year, because there was a complaint about the bike course. So where would you move it to?
I don't know. Well, and that would be the dynamic. Would it move to the same place as 70.3 Worlds? Would they do like a double like that, where they would they put it in the same city?
Yeah.
But that would be a lot for that city to handle.
Would it ruin the sport of, would it ruin Ironman as a brand? Think of how much everybody eyes Kona and what Kona represents to triathletes who race the Ironman distance. And now you put it as just somewhere else.
It's just going to change. Yeah. I think it would really hurt that distance.
I think it would kill the brand. Wouldn't kill the brand. It would be devastating to the brand. I think you wouldn't see the people trying to do the legacy program. I don't think it would have the same draw.
It just wouldn't have that Kona magic.
Yeah. And how much is it like always drawn from the island?
Mm-hmm.
They need to make it work.
Yeah.
They need to make some amends with the island gods there.
I know.
That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's just a rumor that I've heard has been floating around.
Don't be spreading that rumor around. No one likes a rumor monger. my dark horse that I had,
Sarah True,
she came in fourth.
She had an awesome race.
She did. I mean, her numbers across the board, she's 52. She's a great swimmer, 449 on the bike.
She biked really strong. She had a good, solid bike.
257 marathon.
She was running out the gate so quick. I thought she was going to be able to hold it, but that last 10K, things kind of hit the fan.
Yeah,
had to walk a bit.
And Anne went 255 versus a 257, and that really ended up being the difference between the two.
Yeah,
was the speed.
As soon as Sarah started walking, that was the end of Sarah, and Anne surged.
Yeah, and she, like, even with the walking, she still does sub three.
I know.
How does that happen?
And, everything is relative. So, I mean, I thought, like, her first show out here in Kona was pretty incredible. I know she had kind of talked about it's kind of tough to be in fourth place, having fourth place finishes at the Olympics and at 70.3 Worlds.
She's going to tattoo number four on herself, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And, maybe. Sarah, she had a good article in the USA Triathlon magazine about the mindset of being an athlete, and she dealt a little bit on depression, and I think that she is, if you look at somebody in the sport, she is somebody who has definitely dealt with adversity and done it healthy, but been honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't tried to cover it up. Hasn't said like everything's like happy, shiny people. And you know what? I met her a number of times. She's gold.
Mm-hmm.
She is super fun. She's very friendly. She's a big kidder. Rumor was that her and Gwen were kind of like oil and water when they were on the Olympic team together, because she would kind of kid Gwen.
Yeah.
She'd be like, she'd be the jokester, and Gwen was not super at receiving it. And so that was kind of the contrast there, but they made up, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But that was a great day. Now, on the men's side, not to just, only focus on the female.
Yeah, I know.
But on the men's side,
quite the race.
It was. And so would you say that it was where you thought it was going to end up at?
I thought Patrick would have his year last year, and I didn't expect him necessarily to come out of it doing so well this year. He talked about, I don't know, do you watch Breakfast with Bob at all?
I watched a couple of the interviews. Yep.
He was on there and he talked about his experience this year with some overtraining syndrome and feeling utterly exhausted, and he had to take some time off. So I honestly didn't really count Patrick in at all. So he really surprised me, and he just had a really incredible day all around. And of course, his run shot him ahead of everyone.
Oh, yeah. 241. I mean, come on now. Mm-hmm. Who does that?
That's Patrick.
Again, crazy. And then, but so the finish time, 7:52.39, at a race that no one's ever gone under eight, ever, to then drop, you know, almost like almost 8 minutes. I'm going to go back to the cynical side.
Yeah.
There had to be some indiscrepancies in the distance.
Yeah.
There has to be. There's no way that somebody is that makes that big of a jump. Because even from his times last year to this year, and the courses were not the exact same, for somebody to make that level of jump, the, if that were to be, if it were to be a true apples to apples course, you know, 1 year to the next year, I would be raising flags about doping control.
Yeah.
Because that would be, you know, to drop that amount of time. Because it's different for an age grouper to drop 8 minutes off of a 12-hour Ironman.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you're the top of your game and you drop that much time off of, like, you drop 8 minutes plus off of your top time, that is unbelievably hard to do. And I don't think conditions can just can justify it. Yeah. So again, nothing against him. He won. That's amazing because he went, whether the course was there or not, you look at the guys that he went against and he still came out, you know, quite a bit ahead, 4 minutes ahead of everybody else, which means he had a great surge, had a great pacing, and his nutrition was on, and he totally ripped it up. But I did not see the rest of the top coming out this way. You know, Bart, I didn't even know Bart Arnautz.
I didn't either.
I never heard of him.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy from Belgium. David McNamee, I've heard of him before, but I never really, like, thought of him being as a big contender. You know, being third, you know, T.O. comes in fourth.
Yeah.
You know, so which
he had a good day.
He did. And I, you know, I kind of crapped on him in our last podcast. Yeah. I did. And I apologize for that. I was totally wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he does come out. Yeah. It'd be nice to see him get a tweak up a little bit higher.
He's another one with that fourth place syndrome.
Yeah. You know, and the, like the last time we saw an American that high was Ben Hoffman. And I don't think we saw Ben Hoffman race this
year.
Ben
Hoffman had an Achilles injury.
Yeah. So.
And didn't start. So.
Yeah. So.
That was too bad.
And that's, it is too bad. But my boy, Javi.
Javi.
Yeah. What happened there?
He was doing very well, but he biked, I think, out of his means to keep up with the lead guys and blew up on the
419.
Run.
419. Great bike, but you know, not the best bike of the day. Cam Werf is 409.
Well, Cam's background, he used to be a professional cyclist.
But 409.
I know. Yeah, he's pretty incredible.
That's unbelievable. And but you know, there were a lot of 415s, a lot of 14s. But I thought Javi would have been in there in the mix a little bit better. He did have the swim that he needed. You know, he had that 47-minute swim, which is that great swim, but he just couldn't.
He needs more experience with the distance.
He does. He
you know,
does.
And he probably doesn't have nutrition figured out. You could see by the end of his run, his stomach was distended.
Yeah. Distended, so he looked chubby.
You could see, you know, hydration was off. Nutrition was off.
Just
didn't
not
look
there.
Comfortable. Yeah. So.
It is a balance. And even on the best day with all the best conditions, it didn't shake out. So I guess that's why they call it racing. You know, we had made our predictions.
Yeah, that's why you call it Kona, because Kona will eat you up.
It is. It is the island that takes people and it just does different things to you.
Yeah. It either works really well for people or people just suffer.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Did you know anybody personally that was racing there?
I didn't. No, I didn't. So, we did have Dani Fisher.
Yes.
She was racing. It looked like she had an incredible day out there.
Okay.
I believe she went sub 10, which.
That's really good.
That's no joke.
Yeah. One of my coaching friends, Christine Palmquist, she raced.
Oh, how'd it go for her?
She had a great race. She loved it. She qualified as a legacy.
Nice.
And you know, so I talked with Christine and she said that the thing that she took away from it was that you have all these people that are like, you know, zero body mass, you know, zero body fat.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's nothing to them. And then you get the legacies and you get the people that haven't qualified like by winning a race.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty obvious who's who.
Yeah.
And what she said was that they had a dinner for the legacies, and that Mark Allen and Dave Scott and Paul Newby Frazier all came and spoke to them and told them that, you know, don't think of yourself any less. Mm-hmm. You know, they really did give them a ton of support, and they gave them just a ton of, I would say, but a ton of love.
That's
and
cool.
She said it made the difference, you know, that she felt really good about being there. And, you know, good for her. You know, she did 12 Ironmans, and this is her second time. This is her second time trying to get the legacy program. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would ever do 12. I mean, I got 7 under my belt, and I'm not going to try and plug another 5 just to qualify for Kona.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for some big shot to go, hey, do you want to race? You
know, exactly. Like, win a lottery spot.
Yeah, I'll do that. Like, you know, Dia comes up and goes, hey, you want to ride Ventum and then do the race. We'll take care of you. I'm like, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I'll be the fat guy out there. Because it like that you would fit in perfectly. You would fit in perfectly. Myself, last time I was there, I remember there's a photo that I have. I'll show you at some point in time if I ever get brave enough. But Triathlete Magazine takes pictures of everybody that's swimming in the warm-up days at Digby Beach. And it's a picture of Jared Smith. And I'm standing between Jared Smith and Cindy Blackstock. And I look like a double-stuffed cookie.
No.
It's like you could tape the two of them together and it still wouldn't equal me. Yeah. And I'm just like... Hi.
At least it wasn't the underpants run.
No, I did do the underpants run though. And and Jill got angry at me for that.
Why?
She thought it was like, I can't believe you're just out there running in your underwear. She was angry about it. I don't know. She was probably angry about something else at the same time. But I remember she was not happy that I was doing that and that she thought it like sexualized things or I don't know what it was, but she wasn't super happy about it. So I just let it roll.
Yeah.
It was, but, have you been to Kona before?
No, not during. Well, I've been. We've our family's vacationed there.
Yeah.
Multiple times, but never like during the race. I'm trying to get Chris to
you
go.
You should go volunteer.
Qualify.
And oh, go to qualify.
Yeah.
Well, he's got.
He'll do a fall before I ever will.
He's got to reconnect with his coach first.
I know. He's going through a phase.
He's going through a phase. Is he doing okay?
I don't know what to do. Yeah, he's doing well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I let him go. It's like, you know, we broke up a little bit.
And, yeah.
You know, we'll get back together, hopefully. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Unless he just says, you know, I found something better. Who knows how that goes. What else is happening for you? Did we discuss the big life change for you lately?
We haven't on the podcast. We haven't. No.
You are no longer going to be, you're no longer on the market.
Nope.
You are engaged. Someone took you. So you're engaged now. Congratulations.
Yeah. A lot of big life events this year.
So tell the story how it came about. How did it happen? How was it proposed?
Yeah. Well, it happened, in Australia. So we had the big race. He surprised me, by coming out. I had no idea he was coming out. My parents knew. They'd been planning it for 6+ months. So I can't believe they kept it a secret. My mom is the worst at keeping secrets.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
But they had no idea about the proposal.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
Okay.
So he didn't want to do it before my race. He wanted to do it after. And then we'd swam that morning. It was after the race. We went for a swim outside and we were walking back. And of course, in Chris Spoth fashion, we're running late to brunch with my parents. So we were running late and I'm like, Chris, you know, we got to take the shortcut. We got to get going. We're running late. And he's like, no. We have to take this route. I said, why? And he's like, well, I want to get a photo by the bridge and the opera house. And I was like, you never want to take photos, but okay, if we hurry. So we went, you know, the long route, much to my dismay. And we found he wanted someone to take our photo properly. So we found a little English couple. They took the photo. He pulled them aside. I went to go stand by the bridge. And sure enough, he came over and got down on one knee. So
were you like,
it was terrible. I think I started crying before, like right as he was getting down on one knee, he didn't have to say anything. I just started crying.
You just immediately knew.
So I barely remember what he said. Well, I'm a softie.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's big. And you also had another piece of big news since we last talked.
Yeah.
You did a race.
Did a race. Another in race.
It was like, apparently a silver medal at Worlds wasn't good enough for you. You had to go and do something else. Yeah. So Arizona, overall win there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We had a good day. It's like, you know, nice dry heat.
Yep.
Which is nice. Doesn't suck the life out of you like humidity does.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was nice to come away with a positive experience with that distance, 70.3.
I would say that would be a positive experience.
Yeah. We haven't always gotten along together.
Yeah.
The 70.3 distance.
Did it change your mind?
Yeah, it did. I actually, you know, I enjoyed it. I think I'm starting to mature enough to figure out that distance. I think it takes maturity to understand it and get it. And I think I'm getting there.
Is it going to be your new distance, your new jam?
No, I think I'm still going to do a lot of Olympic distance racing. That's, I think, still my favorite.
Yeah.
But I enjoy the half distance.
Are you going to try to get any drafting races at all?
I'd love to try one. I know there is one, I think, out in California. Is it February?
Yeah, it's going to be the new, it's the Long Beach races that are going to start to be it's called the Legacy Triathlon. That's going to end up being the Olympics.
Cool.
That's a very good one. There's also one in Sarasota.
Yep.
That was the same day as
and
Kona.
You were there.
That's where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one to be thinking about. In the future of that distance, it is going to be draft legal at some point in time. And I do think that the skill set that you have is definitely something that would be a great asset for that race.
Yeah.
Great run, great swim. You're strong on the bike. I think you have a lot of the things that are necessary for that race for you to be, not that you're not successful already, but that would be another one for you to be successful at.
Yeah.
70.3 Worlds in your, did you?
Yeah, we've decided we're going to do 2 weeks in Europe.
Yay!
Yeah, so we're going to do Switzerland and then we're going to do Nice.
Awesome.
So we'll get both in there.
That's great. That is, so Nice is the 70.3 in Nice?
Yep, yep.
Okay.
And nice. Then, yep,
they have a full in Nice too, you know.
I know. I'm not ready for that yet. Yeah. I want to stay short and fast for a bit.
Yeah. I've always wanted to do the Nice one. That looks fun because it's like one that actually was a stage in the tour at one time.
Yeah. I saw some of the route of that one. It looks beautiful. Yeah.
Definitely a road bike course.
Yeah.
Lots of climbing and descending. Mm-hmm. Lots of technical stuff.
Which I'm excited about. I do like to climb. And I think the Switzerland course as well, that's going to have a fairly large climb to it too. So this year will definitely be probably a little bit more hill climbing focused.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool.
Well, that sets up for a fun 2019.
Yeah.
And have you made any decisions as to what you want to do as far as 2019 be outside of that? Have you made any broader kind of career decisions?
Yeah. A lot of thought's been put into that, and I've gone both ways multiple times.
Yeah.
So I switched back and forth, but we are deciding I am going to stay amateur another year. I think there's still a lot of growth to be had, and not everyone, it's tough because not everyone necessarily understands that.
Yep.
People are like, well, you have your pro card, you can just go pro, you qualified, just go do it. But there's it's a big hurdle to get over. And the competition at that level is pretty insane. So I don't think I'm there yet. And I think I want another year just to keep.
Stupid phone.
Keep growing. It's all good. The Apple products.
Yeah. They all just start ringing off the hook. I know. I'm sorry. But you know what? I think you have definitely made the right choice.
Yeah.
I was, you know, before I even asked you, I was like crossing my fingers that you would just kind of stay there. And I think that's great. And it's very encouraging to know that you sound very confident in that. And so, and you got a great support system.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think if you're going to have anybody as a person that's going to advise you on this, having Leanda advise you, I think she's, you know, hands down, you know, the best person to give you the guidance on this.
Absolutely. She really helped. I think had I been by myself making this decision, I probably would have gone too soon.
Yeah.
I think I would have regretted it.
Yeah. Well, it's great. And so we got something to look forward to. You can crush another year locally, go and take the world by storm, finally win that gold medal at Worlds. You know, there's a lot of things we can check off the board, but not a lot though.
Yeah.
Not a lot. You get to defend your title at Nationals again.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun.
Interesting.
Maybe do the double this year.
Yeah.
If they let us swim.
I know.
We'll see.
I was bummed about that last year.
It was. It's
smart decision though.
Absolutely. You know, the storm had blown in the water was crazy that morning. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a better bike course too.
Yeah.
Cause there won't be so much construction.
Yeah.
God, that was terrible.
I hate to say it, but I feel like I've been on worse.
Oh yeah. So, call it Minnehaha Parkway.
I'm like, I've been on worse. Cause I, you know, at Nationals, everyone was complaining about it, but I'm like, oh, to say it, but I think I've been on worse.
Yeah. Minnehaha Parkway used to be terrible.
Yeah.
That was terrible. But yeah, I mean, Racine. Oh, Racine was like a mogul course.
Most of it was really nice, but then coming back into town was always terrible.
Those concrete slabs were never right.
Nope.
It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that race though.
I was telling Chris that the other day, because I was like kind of thinking about, do I want to do another half next year? Which one will I do? And I thought of Racine. I'm like, oh, I can't do Racine anymore. Yeah,
I know.
It's just that lake is too unpredictable.
I loved swimming in the lake though.
Well, it's just like, it's the prettiest venue that I've been to.
Big beach.
Yeah.
Favorite memory you have at Racine as a spectator or racing?
Oh boy. Well, it was the first half Ironman I ever did.
Oh.
So I think like, I was just like, wow, I can complete this distance.
Yeah.
So finishing it, that like my first one ever, I think that was my favorite memory.
Yeah.
Cause I'll never get that back. So it's kind of cool.
It was, my favorite memory is, doesn't even involve me. It involves watching, David Thompson when he did it, his year, and they had the helicopter that was covering it
and
he couldn't get out of his wetsuit and he physically had to rip a hole in his wetsuit and he climbed out the hole of his wetsuit.
Oh God.
It was so cool. It was like he hulked it. Like he was the Hulk. He just like
ripped it apart.
Hulk smash. I'm getting out of here. And Blue 70 had to get him a new wetsuit because the zipper jammed and he couldn't get out of it. But super funny. That was my favorite memory from there though.
Oh, I just loved it. And you know, us Minnesotans can drive there.
So. Good little fishing town.
Mm-hmm.
It was not much for food there. And it was a little sketchy otherwise.
We always stayed at a campsite nearby. We camped out.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun.
A little safer.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah. We stayed in a room that was a smoking room.
Ew.
Yeah. It was terrible. It was at a Holiday Inn or something. And all they had was smoking rooms left. And there's nothing worse.
And then super it just sticks on your clothes.
Ugh, super congested and everything. Gross. Well, maybe I'll join you in a half next year.
That would be fun.
Yeah. I feel the desire to do another triathlon.
Yeah. You should.
I know. I want to, but I want to do the right one. I want to do a travel one.
You want to do a travel? Yeah. I think travel races are fun. And I think they push you to another level. I think racing locally is awesome. I think you should support local races, but I think there's something special about racing in another city where it's brand new, so it has that magic, but it's also, you've traveled all that way, you feel like you owe yourself something, and I feel like it brings out, at least in me it has, it brings out another level of competition. It's like, my family's traveled here, I've traveled here, I have to do this.
Absolutely. So
travel races are fun.
All right, so let's think of a travel race.
Highly recommend them.
We'll keep that in conversations.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Jill's got to sign off on it though, because she's going to want
to
go.
Oh boy, yeah. So it has to be a fun vacation spot.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. We'll have to pick something cool. Napa would be a cool do one. Napa. Maybe overseas.
Vine Man?
Yeah.
Is that the Vine Man?
Yeah. Maybe overseas. I don't know. Someplace. That means I actually have to train. That's
the hard part.
I know. I have a hard time getting myself a master's, let alone training.
Yeah. Well, master's is always in the butt crack of dawn, isn't it?
No, I go to do a noon master's.
Oh, that's the easy one. You got it.
I know, but I'm like I get going and
but
I'm
then
like
you're hungry.
Well, yeah, but I'm also like kind of lined. I start doing some things and then I do some more things and then it's just, you know.
Yeah.
And then I just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I need to make it more of a priority. And I suppose if I signed up for something, I would make it a priority.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Maybe I'll
your
do
mindset
that.
Changes.
Yeah,
as soon as the credit card gets a workout.
Yeah, it would have to.
Yeah.
So we'll think about it. I haven't done one for a while. I think the last half I did was in Miami.
Ooh, was it Miami Man or
Miami 70.3?
Well, and they've gotten rid of that one too.
I know.
Yeah.
That was a crazy one. The bike course, you'd like do 5 miles and get onto this road, and then you go straight for like 30 miles.
Arizona's was three loops. We had 15 U-turns on the whole thing. I don't know how many turns each lap, but if you want a technical course, I recommend that one.
Yeah. Well, I'll take that under advisement.
Yep, exactly.
I'll take that under advisement. I did like the weather that Arizona did offer.
Yeah.
You know.
It was nice.
Yeah, I was just down in Tempe this last weekend. That was a lot of nice fun. Good to see some sun. I actually got a little sunburn. I went mountain biking.
Ooh.
I know.
Because you were in Tempe yourself.
Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I did a little mountain biking and scared the bejesus out of myself. Didn't crash, though.
Where were you?
Did you
go into Tempe or did you get into Sedona?
No, we were up near Cave Creek. It was like a Arapaho Wash or something like that. Ah. It was a Maricopa County park. And
okay.
So it was climbing, single track, rocks, cactus, you know, things that could kill you all over the place. And I was just like, get me out of here now.
Yeah.
So, but it was good. I definitely like mountain biking. I'm not like an uber fan of it.
Yeah.
I still do like road biking. It's a little more social.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't prevent me from doing it.
Yeah.
So, Gabby, that's about all the time we got today.
Oh, geez.
I know.
Time flies.
It does fly, doesn't mm-hmm. it? You know, we got some people in the hopper that we're going to try and bring on some special guests here.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to say who they are. Because we're going to keep everybody in the dark on that one, but we got some other guest coaches that are going to come on, and we'll give them a call. We'll do a little Skype call with them, and it should be interesting to get some perspective on some people that are, you know, kind of big names in the sport.
Mm-hmm. Some fun off season topics. For
yeah,
everyone.
We'll talk about like
excited
you know,
about.
Yeah, popcorn or chips? What do you prefer?
Oh man, I'm popcorn.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably go. Well, it depends on the right. I like salt and vinegar chips.
Oh okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Mm-hmm. So, but we don't want to spoil all the topics for
yep.
later.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Well, Gabby, thanks for coming up and playing here.
Yeah, everyone. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Yeah, be safe and don't eat too much candy. Or if you do, make sure you brush your teeth afterwards.
And eat some broccoli.
Exactly. So for Coach Chris and Coach Gabby, this has been the Be Better Podcast. We'll see you next time. Ciao.
See you later. Take me.